It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Hafman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Hafman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Welcome in, Packers fans. Packers fans all around the state of Wisconsin. Not all around, but in Madison. Maybe you're on the stream. Maybe you're listening to us on Lake Air in Amory. Just like your Thanksgiving waistline, we are expanding. The Hafman Bros Poo Show, Packer Outright Opinion Show, is expanding into your area of Wisconsin via the airwaves. How are you, bro?
Tired and crabby.
Sounds like it'll be a good one tonight then. Evan, how you doing, man?
Hanging in there, my friend. Hanging, you know, rolling with the punches.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know there was a great Devil's Advocate show here today. We had some controversy. We had and we had some addresses of the like direct address. Listen to that. Wow.
Literally, yeah, yeah. The leader, the organizer, the grand visor of Civic Media joined us on the air today to adjust some pretty I'm going to call Dan O'Donnell and Jay Weber inflammatory.
I will.
You know? But yeah, he addressed some, you know, we're getting some airtime on Righty Whitey Talk Radio.
Yeah, nice. They're kind of like a bad rash. They're definitely, they cause inflammation and it's not good for anyone. But anyway, we're here to talk about Packers. We'll take a little escape from the politics and the talk of the show, but we're glad Evan's with us and glad to be on Delta Radio. And also, Lake Air in Amory, northwestern Wisconsin, you are hearing Hafman Bros live in your neck of the woods. What do you think about that, bro?
Okay.
Come on! Hey, there's people in little towns. Glenwood City, I remember you. Boyceville, I remember you. Baldwin, Amory, I remember you. You might not remember me, but I used to call some basketball games up there for your high schools. So that was a heck of a lot of fun. And now you get to hear me again, but talking about the Packers this time, not high school basketball. We have some things to talk about, Packers, Ben. We had an interesting game, right? Going into it against the Bills. Everybody, Packers were double-digit underdogs. Such big underdogs for the first time ever. Double-digit underdogs in Aaron Rodgers' career, I believe. So many things going to get crushed by the Bills. Now they did lose by 10 points. So it's technically double digits, but they covered the spread. It was less than the spread. So there you go. That's one thing. Not that you or I ever care about that because we don't bet on games, but that's kind of one of the things that people talk about. However, even out of all of that, I found signs of encouragement. I found signs to be hopeful that this season is not dead, that there is still excitement to be had in the season, and we're going to lay some of that stuff out for you here throughout the hour before we talk about the upcoming opponent, the Detroit Lions, which also gives a lot of people hope that we're facing the Lions, that they're 1-6. But anyway, Ben, you also use that same word, I think, encouraged, right, after the last game against the Bills?
That was the only word that worked. I wasn't hopeful. I certainly wasn't happy. I wasn't optimistic. I was trying to think of a word that could somewhat be considered positive and also equal how I was feeling, and encouraged was the only word that I could come up with. So that was the word I used.
That's fair. I think it's an appropriate word because you can't be happy, like you said, but there were signs of life. What did I tell you last week? I said, what was one thing we talked about? What's one thing you wanted to see out of the team or different from what we've seen the first 7 weeks? And my thing was specifically, I wanted to see more energy, like they wanted to play football, like they cared about being there and wanted to play football and played hard. And for the most part, we saw that from a lot of guys. Now there's some questioning on that on some of the defensive guys, but that's a whole nother debate we'll have later about aggressiveness and the type of players the Packers have on defense and how they play, and I will get into all that. But before we get into anything else related to the game, we have an early fart gun salute, and then we're going to do silent but deadly players of the game. Evan, if you want to be prepared for that, before we get to that, it is Grandpa Famry's birthday today. Grandpa Famry is no longer with us. He hasn't been with us for a very long time. But in honor of Grandpa Famry, we give a fart gun salute. Happy birthday, Grandpa. Ben, if you want to expound a little bit on Grandpa Famry, we've told this story on our YouTube show before, but we'll give a quick summation of it. Grandpa Famry he was a huge Packers fan, and he had this awesome experience. Ben, tell people about it a little bit.
Oh, Grandpa had Packer tickets for a long, 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 long time. He had some blood clot issues and had to get both of his legs amputated at one point. And after the 1989 season, so in the spring of 1990, so after my favorite Packer season of all time, back then the Packers used to do something where they would play pickup basketball games in local cities around Green Bay. And our hometown is Algoma. And they came to Algoma, a bunch of different Packer players, and it was organized by the Packers. And they played a pickup basketball game against some Algoma, whatever, I don't know, like
the Algoma All-Stars.
Yeah, like one of our teachers who was like 6'8", and then like another, you know, like people in town or whatever.
He was the only chance, our 6'8", fourth grade teacher, Mr. Brocknell, was the only chance Algoma All-Stars had, but they still got slaughtered, so it didn't matter.
Right. Well, I mean, when you're going up against, you know, the likes of Tim Harris and Jeff Query, I mean, obviously you're in trouble there.
Jeff Query, yeah.
Mom set it up somehow, I don't know how, that the Packers would have an honorary captain on the sideline or sitting on the bench for the basketball team. And it just happened to be our grandpa. And he got to be on the bench sitting next to everybody when they came off the court, giving them high fives, they were asking them what plays to run, what should we do here? And of course, he always just said, just give it to Tim Harris. Just give it to Tim Harris, because Tim Harris was a monster. And he actually dunked it in Algoma and broke our backboard. So because he slammed it so dang hard. But that was a great experience for Grandpa, great experience for Mom and Dad, especially for Mom, and then also awesome for Grandpa. And it's a great memory we have all these years later. After my favorite Packer season of all time, we got to meet a bunch of the players, and I've never seen my Grandpa that happy ever. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was high-fiving Packers players, really excited. I think that the backboard shattering happened late in the game, so it wasn't like the worst thing ever. Like the game was pretty much done. And I do believe the Packers covered the cost of replacing the backboard at Algoma High School. At least I hope they did. I maybe not. Maybe that was insurance. I don't know. But
who knows?
Anyway, happy birthday, Grandpa. Jonathan's in the house. He says, fire Tom Clemens. Hang on there, Jonathan. Hang on. All right. We're talking about encouragement. We got to get to our silent but deadly players of the week. So it is time, Evan, to get to those unsung heroes who we didn't know were going to be great, but actually made an impact this week in this week's game. Let's hear it.
And now it's time for the Hafeman Bros Silent but Deadly Player of the Week.
All right, bro. My silent but deadly player of this game, this week, was Rasul Douglas. Because as a corner who didn't even get to play all the snaps, led the team in tackles, had an awesome pick when they were lifeless, and was a guy that was fired up on plays and trying to rally the troops and trying to energize guys. And he could be the player of the week every week, but in this case, it was kind of quiet, but he did it, and he's my silent but deadly player of the game. Who did you have?
All right. Mine is the same guy it's been for like weeks. It's Josiah DeGuara, because he's freaking awesome. If you're a Packer fan and you just watched the ball, you would have seen Josiah DeGuara catch one pass and go like 8 yards or something. And that's all you saw. But if you weren't watching the ball and you were watching Josiah DeGuara, he was everywhere. He was getting spring blocks from the fullback position, from the tight end position, from the wide receiver position, coming all the way across the field to pick up a blitz, pick up a defensive end on a run play. And he was awesome. I am so happy to see him on the field. And that was one of the things that made me encouraged, was that Matt LaFleur finally ran his offense and made Aaron Rodgers run his offense instead of the dumb RPO. These were actual run plays where the offensive line could actually get off the block and actually smack a guy in the face. And Josiah DeGuara smacked a lot of dudes in this game. So if you normally watch the ball, you didn't see him much. But I'm telling you right now, all those awesome runs by A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, a lot of those happened because of Josiah DeGuara, my silent and most definitely deadly player of the game.
Josiah DeGuara, congratulations. And Rasul, you could be the guy every week. Rasul always earns a fart gun salute. Okay. And just for you Packers fans out there, more casual fans, you haven't seen a lot of Josiah DeGuara during the first 7 weeks of the season, but we got to see him a lot in this week when we were running those plays and those formations and those lineups. And he was in the backfield a lot in that offset, doing things from the tight end spot, crack back blocks, kick out blocks from one side to the other that are part of this system that when you're not running the system, you don't see those things. So those, like Ben said, those are all the things we got to see, which is pretty fun and pretty exciting and great. And he did exceptionally well. And he's a guy they've been high on since they drafted him a couple years back. And so it was nice to see him on the field, 100%. Okay, so now we have to go to a play. And I don't know if our play will be the same. But Evan, if you have the vector, oh yeah, it is time to get excited about one play from this game. I know it was a loss, but oh, let's talk about one play we liked. Give us to us again, Evan. I talked over it.
Oh yeah!
All right, it is our oh yeah play from the week. Ben, mine is the touchdown pass to Samori Toure. Incredible pass, great pass, but even a better adjustment by the receiver. It's what Aaron Rodgers wants you to do. Backyard football. Don't run the play. Adjust on the fly to an open spot, and he'll throw it there.
Oh, yeah.
It worked out great. It worked out great. Sweet. What was yours? You got one?
Yeah, Romeo Doubs. I mean, come on. He spun around three times, couldn't find the ball in the air. Still made a great catch with one hand. The guy tried to rip it away, and luckily he put it in the other hand so it wouldn't get ripped away. Came down with it in bounds. First touchdown of the game. We were wondering if he was going to score any points, for God's sake. Luckily, he did that, and it was a really, really difficult catch. And that was the play where I was like, holy, what the heck happened? Where did this guy come from? Wasn't he dropping balls left and right last week? And now this week, he was awesome. So
there you go.
A couple of really young receivers making plays. That's nice to see.
You had an observation on what might have been a difference for one young Romeo Doubs from when he was getting beat down, and the stink eye and other guys giving him a hard time and whatnot, that you'll talk about when we come back, because it's break time almost. Is it almost break time, Evan? It's almost break time, Evan's telling us. So we got to go to break. Then we're going to tell you why Romeo Doubs is more confident. And we got some Charles Woodson piping in. We'll be back in a bit. We're back. We might be bad as well. I'm not sure, but we're definitely back here. Hayford Rose on Packer Outright Opinions. Ben and Jason here with you to talk about a couple things related to this last game. Now, Ben, you mentioned Josiah DeGuara, but before we get to that, we got to cover up the last thing that we left people hanging on. Why was Romeo Doubs, do you think, more confident in this game? What did we see? We saw signs. There was little sprinklings out there if you're paying attention. What was it?
Well, I thought you had sound that was supposed to go with a certain quarterback talking, and then that would lead to a thing, but that's fine. Aaron Rodgers said that this past week was the best practice that the Packers had all week, and that they finally were ready for the game because they actually had good practice. Except here's the funny thing. He didn't practice on Wednesday, and he was only a light practice on Thursday and a light practice on Friday last week. Who led the team? Jordan Love. And when you watch... After the touchdown catch, later on the sidelines, Jordan Love goes up to Romeo Doubs, gives him a high five, hugs him, and lingers there for a while, probably giving him some pump-ups. And then later on in the game, Romeo Doubs has that killer sideline tiptoe grab up in the air and comes down. Jordan Love sprints over there, grabs him up, and taps him on the butt, gives him some more pump-up. I got a feeling Jordan Love is the guy who helped bring Romeo Doubs back some confidence after good old Aaron Rodgers is telling everybody that maybe if they suck, they got to sit down and put other guys in there. Hmm. And Jordan Love's like, you know what? I believe in you, buddy. Let's go make it happen. Hmm. So maybe, just maybe, the young regime has got a new leader. And it might just be Jordan Love. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Now that happened, you know, before the Bills game, and during the Bills game, we saw the difference in confidence in Dobbs, and he made some amazing plays. So, but before that, you just brought up Aaron Rodgers' comments from last week, and he's had these divisive and destructive comments here lately. We do have some comments from Charles Woodson that were on an early pregame show, and because the game was Sunday night, a lot of people either forgot about it, missed it, didn't see it. But Charles Woodson, somebody Aaron Rodgers respects greatly and really has, you know, I mean, he respects him. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know, he respects too many people, but he respects Charles Woodson and speaks highly of him. Charles Woodson had some stuff to say about what Aaron Rodgers was doing, and let's play and hear what he had to say.
Well, first of all, you got to stop pointing the finger. And that's, I'm talking to the leader of this team right now, Aaron Rodgers. Every time I see him on television or in an interview, it's all about what everyone else can't do. We got to simplify the offense. Or these guys are making mental errors. Well, look, you got to take some ownership of this team, man. You got to stop pointing the finger and start talking about yourself and what you can do to help this team get better. Instead of rolling your eyes when a guy drops a pass or they do something wrong, how about clapping your hands and say, hey, man, you know what? Don't worry about it. Let's move on to the next play. I got you. I'm coming back to you.
Charles Woodson.
Wow. And I heard nothing about this. You sent this to me like Monday or Tuesday, or I don't even know what day it was.
There were no stories. I couldn't hardly find a story.
Yeah, no Packer reporters talking about it. No national media talking about it. I know this show is like the early Fox show, like before the regular Fox show, and then even before that, other Fox show. So it's like, you know, hardly anybody probably even watches that. But the thing is, Charles Woodson is calling him out. And that's not me. That's a guy that Aaron Rodgers respects more than anything. So I hope that Aaron Rodgers heard this. I know later on in that interview or on the show, they asked him and they said, hey, well, why don't you get a hold of him? And Woodson said, yeah, I can't get a hold of him. Ooh. So I don't know if they're not talking anymore or he doesn't have the phone number for him anymore, but we'll see.
Well, Woodson didn't stop there. He was interrupted by Michael Vick stupidly because he was making some good points. And Michael Vick was like defending from a quarterback perspective. But Woodson said a little bit more, and let's hear what else he said.
You need to set me aside in the locker room and come talk to me face to face, man to man. You can't keep minimizing, you know, or belittling me to the media every chance you get.
That's a good call out. That's good.
I mean, that's huge. Because if anybody who knows Aaron Rodgers knows that he believes Charles Woodson was the leader of that Super Bowl winning team.
100%.
He believes he's the guy who led, and he was the guy. He's the guy who said, hey, the president don't want to come see us, we'll go see him, right? That's one of the greatest lines of all time.
It is.
It was awesome. And Woodson came up with it. And even though Woodson got hurt in the Super Bowl, he was still there leading the charge, right? He was still a guy on the sidelines being like, let's go. He was still the leader and the emotional leader. Now, of course, there's also the Kevin Green who, you know, grabbed Clay and said, hey, someone's got to stand up and rally the troops. And, you know, got Clay fired up to make the, you know, him and Pickett spill a Pickett play. And, you know, all the whole awesome. I mean, that Super Bowl is awesome. There's a lot of cool little things on the sidelines you got to see. But calling him out, has Aaron Rodgers heard it? Has he realized the error of his ways? I don't know.
I believe he did because he did not, for the first time in weeks, he did not make any destructive comments after the game, not in post game. Now, he did say something quick that we should play. Unfortunately, he did say this when he got kicking back with Pat McAfee.
The feeling of it, the energy, it just felt better. Pre-game, this was the first game of the season where it really felt like we were ready to play.
So, not really a great statement. I mean, maybe it was an honest statement, and based on the lifelessness we've seen, I guess it was honest, but that basically says the coaches haven't been getting these guys ready to play any other week. That means that Za'Darius Smith in the 2019 championship game is the same as the Packers every single week this year, which is not good. So maybe it's bad. But maybe it'll get better. That's the hope. Anyway, the other hope is that Aaron Rodgers heard those comments, that that's the reason he didn't say any dumb stuff after the game, and he's not going to say any cutting down his teammates. I guess maybe he didn't get the message of the coaches. Woodson didn't specify coaches. He just said players, right? So maybe it was Aaron Rodgers heard him loud and clear. He's respecting Charles Woodson to the letter, but not beyond the letter because the coaches still get a little gruff. Anyway, we got some defense to talk about when we come back. And then we got to talk about football players as human beings as well. We'll be back in a bit. Come on, Aaron Rodgers. Stop pointing the finger.
Sometimes my life is like an ocean, and I feel like I'm just going through the motions. My head is racing down a highway. I don't know where I'm going, but it's my way. That's when I stop tripping, thinking about what I'm missing. I feel so good, I might just say it.
I feel like the song just embodies the Packers for those first 7 weeks. You know,
it's bad. Is that what you're trying to get at? A terrible song, a terrible team? No, that's like the worst thing I've ever heard.
They were just like, hey, things are going. And that's when I just stopped, you know, things got a little tough. And I just stopped tripping. And I'm just like, hey, I'm feeling some good vibrations here. And football, it doesn't need us to be aggressive.
What is that? Who was that?
That's from the Emoji Movie, man. That's how I heard it. I watched the Emoji Movie.
You watched that garbage?
Yeah, I watched it, and I liked it.
Where Sir Patrick Stewart played the poop?
I watched it.
Are you serious?
And I liked it.
He stooped to that. Here's a guy who took the money to just be a poop emoji for a movie. I mean, come on.
And I'm proud of it. Emoji Movie.
Professor X would never be a poop emoji.
That's actually a highly underrated movie. And that song's not that bad either. It's actually pretty good. But I thought it was fitting for tonight. What's not fitting is that the Packers were terrible at tackling against the Bills. We have some really bad culprits who need to be sat on the bench or maybe just maybe just kicked off the team. I don't know. Or maybe inactive for a while. I'm not sure. But anyway, Raider Rick is on the line. So let's bring him on. Raider Rick, you're here. Hey, we got some serious stuff to talk about tonight, too. But before we get to that, let's talk about how seriously bad the Packers' tackling was against the Bills.
Dude, tackling. Actually, that's just to like hit someone and wrap them up if you're going to tackle them. Man, that was abysmal. It was embarrassing. It was pitiful. John Madden must be rolling over in his grave. That was like the anti-boom. Oh, so... Yeah, man, I don't know. Like, one good thing, you know, tying into what you're going to be talking about later with, you know, these injuries, what things happen to their body. I guess if you don't hit anyone, it's going to help your career last longer. But it was pretty sad.
That's a good snark. That's a good snark, Raider Rick. Hey, one thing I think it's proven to me is that these, like, I'm a fan of donuts. Don't get me wrong. But these tackling donuts that they use in practice clearly don't work. They clearly don't work.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like fundamental football, right? You know, you need to, like, have your arms at least in front of the guy or around the guy or, like, somehow touch the guy. I don't know. I guess, you know, maybe if they move to flag football, Savage might be an all-star. But, you know, contact, wrap up, square up. You get your helmet in front of the guy. What are these basics? I know you guys have talked about this on the show in the past, but... You know, what were some of the fundamentals we learned in the first years of playing football, right? You square up, you keep your head up, keep your head in front of the ball carrier.
Yes.
Wrap them up. Hold on, right? You don't have to try to run a guy over.
Like I explained to Ben, one of the shows, I said how, you know, you can run through an arm, but if you put a head, you can't run through a head and an arm, but you can run through just an arm. So that's, you got to get the head in front, especially if you got a big head, it helps. But anyway, lastly, Rick, my last thought on that before we move on to a more serious topic, which is I have a thought that maybe if the Packers and anyone else that wants to call in and comment on this, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789 to call and be a part of the show, is that maybe the Packers need an official cheer squad. Because what is the number one most basic cheer that all cheer squads learn? Be aggressive, right? Isn't it the be aggressive, right? It's that one. Be aggressive. Maybe the Packers need that reminder constantly to be that way. That's my thought. So maybe let's hire a cheer squad. I think there's enough money in the budget of the Green Bay Packers to get a cheer squad. All right, let's transition to something more serious. I sent you guys something because I was really sad. Like, Sam Shields was on Dan Le Batard's show here recently and was talking about Sam Shields, a former cornerback for the Green Bay Packers, played 1 year for the Rams, has some concussion problems, was a pretty decent cornerback, was originally a wide receiver coming out of college, but then transitioned to the defensive side. And it was just a sad article. He was very, you know, spoke openly about what the concussions did to him and his body. He described it in a way that it just felt like his brains were kind of mushed together or mashed together at times. He had some other physical problems and episodes from that. It just kind of is a reminder that this is a dangerous sport these guys are playing, and they're human beings during the time they're playing it and also the time after they're playing it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, these athletes are getting bigger, faster, stronger. The speed and force of the collisions is increasing. The guys are really wearing minimal padding. One good thing is, yes, helmet technology is getting better, but it's hard. You can't physically rehab your brain, right? You can't surgically repair your brain. You know, you're still taking these shots, you're doing damage to your brain. It's not like you can go and, you know, sit up for 3 weeks, let it heal up, and get it back. So, you know, it's a scary thing. No matter how good the helmets get, there's still going to be super high-speed, high-force collisions, guys planting their face into the ground. I mean, look at what happened in the Green Bay game. You know, rookie receiver goes down hard. People are calling him soft. You know, that's not something you want to come back from. It's not 70s, 80s, whatever. You come back and play through this stuff, and then you got guys wandering to the wrong sideline because they don't know what's happening. So, I mean, I can say, as drawing from my own personal experience in high school, I had a pretty bad concussion, one that actually screwed up my short-term memory for a few days, and it sucked. You know, for me, it was clear my future was not going to be as a professional athlete. I don't, you know, hate to be selling myself short, but that's the reality of it. I knew my future was going to be using my brain, not my body, to get wherever I was going to end up. So, yeah, I was in no hurry to get back. Around that time, that's when Al Toon, there was an article in Sports Illustrated with Al Toon. Some of your listeners might remember him from his Badger days, receiver with the Jets, talking about how, you know, after he was done with football, having had a lot of concussions, you know, he would just get upset with his kids because they'd be running around making noise like kids do, but his head would hurt so bad that he couldn't stand to be around them. So, you know, what kind of life is that? Yeah, it's a serious thing. Back to you.
I know. Sometimes I always want to make a joke, and I apologize for that. I don't want to in this instance, but Rick, that you got some good brains there in that head, and we know it. Nice ACT score as well that you had. I can attest to that, and it was a good move. But the point is, with some of this stuff too, like the more recent, you know, really public one was Tua, right, in Miami, and seeing how that all came. And then he comes back and plays, and within, I think it might have been his first drive, he's like tucking and running and like lowering his head. And I'm just like, it's really an interesting dynamic to think, Ben, about, and Rick, about, like, you know, the players understand this, but then they're still trying to play a game and be aggressive and play the way they always used to playing. And so it's hard to not do that. It's just hard to take that out of somebody if that's what they've done for 15, 20 years.
And maybe that's what leads to some of our guys being terrible tacklers. Who knows?
Could be.
You know, maybe they don't want to get in there because they don't want to get injured in that way, because they're smaller. A lot of the guys who are having issues tackling are Savage and Stokes and Jair. You know, Amos, they're not the biggest guys out there. And that could be something too, where they don't want to have to, you know, have a head injury and that messes them up for the rest of their lives. But the bottom line is, they make a lot of money to do this job, and there are millions of people who would switch and play that job any day of the week. And yeah, when they're done, you know, there's something to consider and something to think about. You know, was it worth doing? And we've seen people walk away from the sport. Matter of fact, there was the Wisconsin linebacker with the 49ers who retired after like 3 years or whatever. I can't remember what his name was, but
yeah, Chris Borland. And he's in Madison. And actually, the guy Pizza Box Mike on Saturdays. He stops by the bagel shop he works at all the time. He ends up talking to him a bunch. So, yeah, and he's even said he doesn't regret it one bit. You know, he just knew that he didn't want to mess up his head, and he had a couple concussions that first year, and he was like, nope, I'm stepping away.
I think what it is when you have another option or you have a support team around you. That's the other thing with the Shields article you talked about was
great point.
Sam Shields says after he got done with football, all of a sudden all of his friends and family disappeared. Like when he was a superstar playing corner for the Packers winning the Super Bowl, everybody wanted a piece of him. And then as soon as he was done with playing football, then all of a sudden everybody disappeared. And it just confounded and expanded the fact that he felt miserable. And that was also part of it. But players that have a good support around them maybe are more likely to take a look at the situation and have people that look at them and say, you know what? Maybe it's the best thing for you to be playing right now if you've had a couple of concussions and so forth. Like with Tua, for instance, maybe his mom and dad are like, hey, it's to, you know, walk away. But the other thing is this. A lot of these guys are super competitive, and that's all they want to do. So I can't blame them. I mean, if it was me, if I had physical abilities that could do it, I know I wouldn't give up. I'd keep playing, even if my head was all messed up. But I've also had something recently where I woke up a couple days in a row where I was all messed up in the head, and I'm like, how the heck did this happen? I don't even know what happened there. And I was just like, whoa, that was weird. And I got a little freaked out. And it was only like a day and a half, but now I'm feeling great. It's been, you know, months now. But now I don't need to do anything. So I can't imagine getting smacked in the head a whole bunch and having, you know, one day you just wake up and everything's weird. Like you can't stand straight. You're feeling, you know, everything's, you know, like you're standing on a rocking boat or something and everything's kind of out of whack and things are too loud or whatever. So it's a situation, but these guys know what they get into and it's their dream from when they're little. And I think the other thing is this, if it wasn't your dream and you're playing right now and you're just doing it for the money, maybe you should get out, you know, and maybe that's part of the thing. If these guys that are as aggressive, maybe they're not playing because they want to play. They're playing for the money. So they're like, yeah, I'm not going to get in there and get smacked. I mean, I'm making good money and I can make good money after this. Like Savage is going to make $7.5 million next year. Is he going to let that, you know, impact him by him getting hurt so he can't be coming out and playing next year? Oh, I know it's guaranteed, but you know what I'm saying?
There have been some advancements to put a capper on this. There have been some advancements. But guys got to read their own situation. It's personal choice. And like you pointed out, you know, a number of these people grew up in poverty, grew up in situations where they didn't have any money, didn't have another pathway, didn't have a support system to do something else, but had this ability and ran with it. And so it's a tough call, but anyway, it's part of the situation in the game. So you say, and that's just kind of what it is. One guy who has been tackling well and playing well for the Packers is Quay Walker. And Evan, if you can cue up Quay Walker here quick, he got ejected from the game on a silly thing. He talked about it a little bit. The thing I like about this the most is it shows how much he cares. So let's hear what Quay Walker had to say after the game.
You said they get the second guy. Did you feel like there were hands on you before you turned around?
Yeah, I felt like somebody pushed me when I was down on the ground as I was getting up. And then I just reacted off my emotions at that moment because just normally I protect myself. So I did that. If I'm wrong, I'll say I'm kind of wrong for what I did, but that's all I can say.
You're a pretty mild-mannered guy. Do you get taken over by emotions very often?
Yeah, sometimes my emotions can lead me to do things that after when I do them, I kind of regret. I kind of regret that I did it. It's kind of eating me up right now, but it is what it is.
Wait, we see the emotions right now. They're very real. What is in your mind right now?
And at the end of that, he couldn't even answer the questions. The guy was upset. It means a lot to him. He's been playing great for the Packers, by the way. I know, Ben, you and I have both talked about, we've been very impressed by him and what he's doing, and he's important to this team. You know, he made one mistake. I think it was it was a little extreme to throw him out of the game.
Yes.
you know, he just shoved the guy and shoved him back after being bumped. It wasn't, you know, something to kick a guy out for. But they threw him out. He was also a big loss to the Packers in that game because he was the only guy that could keep track of Josh Allen. So, anyway, I like him. Seems like a good kid, and he cares about it. We'll be back to look ahead to the Lions. You're listening to the Packer Outright Opinion Show. Be back in a bit.
They'll be in there for hours.
Crazy stuff. I'm about to say some crazy stuff, Ben. I was looking ahead. I know nobody likes to look ahead. No one ever likes to look ahead, right? With football, because you got to focus on this game, this one game. We'll talk about that in a second. But I'm telling you, Packers fans, the Packers are going to... Right now, there are only seven teams ahead of the Packers in the NFC. Packers are eighth in the NFC right now, okay? Only seven teams ahead. So for all the people that are like, oh my God, the season's over and this and that. Nah, stop. Stop. And I looked at the schedule, and I think the Packers will finish 10-7. They will win seven of the last nine games of the season and finish 10-7. They'll be in the playoffs. That's what's going to happen. So mark it down, November 4th. When it turns out 10-7, I'm come back to this show, and we're going to say, yep, Jason was right. Okay. Huh? Is that crazy?
Have you been going to that vape or whatever the commercial that we hear on here?
Knuckleheads? With CBD smokes, and vapes?
The smokes and the...
I have not. No, I'm...
What are you talking about? That doesn't even make any sense.
Can we get past the Lions first? Hey, guess what? The Lions score a crap ton of points at home, and our defense can't stop the run. They do score a lot of points. I was looking at that. Do you know that the Lions are third in yards per game right now?
Yes.
They score 27.4 points per game, or 24.7 points per game. Excuse me. 24.7 points per game. It came down a couple of weeks, but they had a bunch of games in the 40s this year, all that sort of stuff. Now, in contrast, I know the Packers are a little bit lower than that. Just a tick lower than that. Just a tick. They're at like 18.1 points per game. Well, at least they're above 17. For a while, they were below. They're at like 17 points a game. But now they're at
17 points last week. How do they go up?
I don't know. That's weird. Maybe this isn't even right. It's got to be.
You're not right. Anyway, I think you're not right in the head. Can we get past the Lions before we start talking 10-7? Playoffs? Playoffs? You want to talk playoffs? I just want to win a game.
Fair enough. Ben, one last question for you. Who has more rushing yards per game, the Lions or the Packers?
Probably the Lions.
They do. Sadly, the Lions have 130.
They have a really good offensive line.
136.6 rushing yards per game. The Green Bay Packers have 122.5 rushing yards per game. That's even after the stellar 7.2 yard average Aaron Jones just had in this last game against the Bills. So who should have the higher yards per game rushing? It should be the Packers, but it's not. It's the Lions.
Well, the Lions have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. They put their resources to the offensive line with draft picks
and signed
the guys back that are good Pro Bowl players all across their offensive line. And that's the reason why. When you control the offense, when you control the line of scrimmage on offense, you can move the ball and score points. And that's what they do. So even though their quarterback is pedestrian at best, the rest and their wide receivers, they're led by a guy who's short and slow, yet somehow makes plays. And they still have Jamal Williams, who's crazy and weird, and he's like still doing stuff on their team, making plays, because he just runs right as fast as he can because he knows the offensive line's getting 2 yards of push for him, and then he just keeps going for another 5-6 yards. Yeah, that's how they move the ball, and that's how they win. Their offensive line is great. But the defense is suspect and giving up a crap ton of points. So if we can't score this week, something's wrong. We got to score some points this week, okay?
It's surprising me that how bad their defense has been. I thought it'd be a little better than this, especially with a coach like Dan Campbell. You think he'd be kind of fired up. So it must be that they're screwing up a lot. But it also seems like they're just getting whipped. Like I've seen some tape where they're getting pushed around. They're getting beat. They don't look I expected more from the Lions this year, to be honest with you, and it doesn't look quite like I expected. So it's kind of disappointing on from a Lions fan perspective. It's good for the Packers when you need to win, but you're definitely right. Like the offense, whatever it is, whether it's the LaFleur plays or the Rodgers plays this week, should look good. Like they should be able to move the ball and score points 100% this week. Lee points out that the Packers are too conservative. And this also comes back. Now, a big thing this week was the Packers didn't trade for anybody. Apparently, they were in the talks for all these guys, right? Including Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
Chase Claypool. I was calling him Chase Pool. I almost said.
That's what his name is as a Packer, because we don't have him. So you can call him Clay Chase Pool. You can call him Chase Claypool. You can call him Pool Clay Chase. It doesn't matter because he's not a Packer. So who gives a crap?
Problem is, the Bears got him for just a second-round pick, right?
Yeah.
Second-round pick.
You know what we got for a second-round pick?
What did we
actually
get?
We traded 2 second-round picks to move up and draft Christian Watson, who hasn't played hardly at all year. We actually traded a 4th-round pick and our 1st-round pick to move up to get our spots up to get Jordan Love, who hasn't played in 3 years. We traded an extra pick to move up a couple spots to get Amari Rodgers in the 3rd round. So you think we could maybe have, I don't know, maybe given a little extra, like a 5th or a 4th, along with the 2nd, to maybe bump up the, you know, give the Steelers a little bit more so they decide to trade the Claypool to us? No, Goody won't do that. But he'll gladly mortgage 2 second-round picks to try to get a wide receiver that has not proven anything yet, or a quarterback who didn't play for 3 years, or a wide receiver who apparently can't catch punts. He'll do that, but he won't go for a wide receiver who has proven that he can make things. 10 touchdowns his rookie year from the ghost of Ben Roethlisberger thrown on the ball. So he's got to be good. That's the thing. And I'm not a guy who, you know me, I've had a lot of people, a lot of Packer fans are like, oh, we got to get this guy and we got to get this old crappy receiver and we got to get this Julio Jones and AJ Green and all that. No, none of those guys I wanted. This guy, I wanted because he's still on his rookie deal. He'd still be under contract for next year. He's a physical freak. He's good in the run game. He can do all kinds of things and he would be help this team now and help the team in the future if they should so want to keep him for sure this next year. And they didn't do it.
Right.
Even though we've watched them squander picks in the draft for guys who were not proven at all.
Yeah, that's the
So
part.
I am mad about that.
You know what this guy is. And like you said, you could have thrown in another low round pick to sweeten the deal and probably got him. Like, I mean, no GM is going to say no to that. But for just a second round pick, that's all the Bears had to give. Like, you could have done better than that. You could have done better. Because the rumors were, the talk was, they thought the Bears pick was going to be a better pick than the Packers second round pick. So that's why they did it. Which maybe that's true, maybe not, but either way, it's annoying. The Packers didn't make a bigger push for a known commodity versus just a pick that's out there in space. Who the heck knows what's going to happen with that? You never know. You mentioned Christian Watson, that poor kid. I feel so bad for him. Like, come on. He doesn't deserve to have all these stupid injuries, and hopefully he comes back. He is questionable. Bakhtiari's questionable. Don't rush back from that concussion, Christian Watson. He's questionable. Bakhtiari's questionable.
Actually,
Jenkins is questionable.
Because he's on my fantasy football team, and I got a bunch of guys on bye, so he should come back, rush back.
Okay. Well,
just don't run any dumb plays in the middle of the field where he has to run into 3 guys and get head smacked. That's dumb.
Stay on the outside.
He's too fast. Keep on the outside.
Do the Packers win this week?
I don't know. If they do what they did last week, they run the good plays. Maybe if they take Savage out and Stokes out and put Douglas in at corner and put Rudy Ford in at safety, then I would be convinced that, yes, I would say they would win. If they keep doing things and Aaron Rodgers runs the offense, they can win. But if they lose this game, I'm done. We're moving to the future.
35-32, Packers win. This is the Pooh Show. You heard us in Madison and also at Lake Air in Amory. Thanks, Evan. Catch you guys next week after a Packer victory. If you feel like that's what you want.